Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The boys of summer haven't gone yet, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Wolves win the Premier League Asia Trophy. Harry Kane scored a beauty and Zlatan's been up to his old tricks again. Welcome one and all, Luke, Pete and Jimmy are with me, Marcus.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, mate.
Oh, that was all as one and one for all.
Yeah, we're in tune now.
We didn't even rehearse it. We're still going for our pre-season,
the four,
so it's pleasing.
Musky sexies.
I've just come back from the AFCON.
Have you?
Yeah. I'm going on holiday.
And you weren't bored to death. Good on you.
that's believable. So we should say Pete hasn't been out in Egypt.
No, exactly. You're right. Marcus, we're doing the show a little bit earlier than usual. It is 8:30 in the morning. And Marcus, your hair is wild at this time. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Thanks very much. It makes me look like a wolf man. Yeah. And that leads us neatly on to Wolverhampton Wanderers gym.
Yeah. No, Marcus, you are the wolf man of the Ramble.
Yeah.
And it's a compliment.
Ow!
Well, Wolves, they did win it. They beat Manchester City on penalties. What a win.
The big
first
one.
Major silverware.
Say it properly. The big one.
The big one.
The first major Premier League trophy of the season.
Yeah. How hard do you reckon the marketing people at the Asia Trophy fought to get the two words Premier League in there?
Oh, but did you... The footage all had the same branding and everything, and it really worked hard. But the strange thing about these games has been, and this has been true in America and in Singapore as well, is that it's so different from the usual pre-season friendlies because, you know, the fans there are so... excited to see the games that the atmospheres are amazing.
Yes. It's really
weird.
I've seen some amazing pictures of people who I've not really anyone I know, but people I follow on Twitter who are working these tournaments and saying, taking photos and uploading them saying, the thing about these preseason friendly sort of tournaments is that they pretty much let anyone into the press box.
Right,
and on the left, and this guy posted a photo, there's a bloke there, Liverpool shirt on, 4 beers
on
the table, which you're supposed to use for your laptop to be covering the game.
Wow.
But it's a massive example of the fact that old big scooters, big scooter, wanted the...
Scoot missiles.
Yeah. Scooters!
Wanted the 39th game, couldn't get it, and thought, do you know what we'll do? We'll just do a pre-season tournament and sell it to people in the Far East as being a Premier League game.
But that's fine.
Is it or is it the thin end of the wedge?
No, because I think that's...
pre-season.
I think that's fine. The Premier League Asia Trophy, lovely old job. Get rid of this... Well, they've never had the 39th game, so I think everyone's happy.
Sadio Mane's season finished on Friday.
We will come to that, Jim.
I'm on board, Marcus, as long as Man City continue to make 9 changes
a
game.
Well, Manchester City have enraged certain parts of the media in China. And it's the... It was... Oh, I forget the name of the
Pep Guardiola.
No, I forget the name of the media organisation out of China, but it's the biggest media organisation in the world. Anybody know or care which one it was? But they're the most important one in China, of course. As a result, but they have claimed that Manchester City haven't engaged with the Chinese football fans in the same way Wolves, West Ham, and Newcastle have, and they've accused them of being arrogant and believe they only went to China for the money. The handshakes or the signings.
I will not have that said about football players. They're only going to China.
I will not have that said against a club like Manchester City.
An organisation like Citigroup.
Absolutely.
Were they the only club who didn't change their title on their sponsors to Chinese lettering, to kanji? Oh,
right. Well, there's another disrespect.
Hey, there we go.
There you are, you see.
More disrespect.
Well done to Wolves for winning. Keep the locals happy.
I just love that picture of Nuno Espirito Santo and Pep Guardiola and the Steve Bruce on the end.
Don't forget Manuel.
Manuel,
He was there.
Pellegrini,
Pellegrini was giving the 40 tails.
He was given the biggest side eye of all, wasn't he?
He was.
it was a strange penalty shootout. Quite a few penalties missed, but Rui Patricio in goal for Wolves was the hero. Didn't smile when they won a penalty shootout.
Disrespectful to China, that.
Yeah. Or was it respectful?
Yeah, maybe. Mm. He's saying, this is so serious, I'm not even thinking about frivolously celebrating that.
I have to let this sink in.
Yeah.
And then presumably burst into tears of emotion.
And he ripped his goalkeeper shirt on, and he had a T-shirt underneath on that just said that the Chinese word for gravitas on it. That's how serious I'm taking it.
And then he ripped that off and he had it tattooed on his chest.
So it was a good win for Wolves. Newcastle United beat West Ham 1-0 in the third place. The mere presence of Steve Bruce in the stands. Look at that, a clean sheet, a win, a medal.
Marcus, he was in the stands because he couldn't manage the team because they didn't sort their fucking visas in time, mate. So technically, that wasn't Steve Bruce's win.
Said his mere presence.
are you counting that as a Rafa Benitez win?
That's a Rafa Benitez win,
To be fair to Brucey, how long would it take to secure a Chinese working visa?
Well, they should have had that in place.
He didn't have the job, did he?
Yeah, I know, but you still go. You can get a 2-day one, a really, really quick one if you want to sort one out. Yeah.
I mean, presumably that's up to the club, isn't it? Yeah. And therein lies the problem.
Mm. It's quite hard to get one, I believe.
So
I've had one and it took about a week, was like not a rush job.
Well, our friend James Horncastle, who went with Inter pre-season,
couldn't get one.
Seems to struggle.
He went to Singapore instead, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
But no one, but the problem
and the
with
whole
James,
club changed their plans for James.
But no one takes him seriously. That's the thing. Not like Steve Bruce. He's not a good proper footballer, man. Like
true
Steve
enough.
Bruce.
But unlike Steve Bruce, I would say James is everyone's cup of tea. Did you see that when Steve Bruce was sitting there going, well, no, I'm not everyone's cup of tea?
He's so
self-defeated.
The thing about this is, Marcus, the annoying thing is, I'm already starting to feel well sorry for Steve Bruce. Yeah. I'm like, this is the perfect PR move for Mike Ashley. Get a pathetic deer who really loves Newcastle United in. And just have him just throw him to the fucking wolves.
A pathetic deer. Well, and they were, of course, the previous game.
Yes, Bruce has also said that part of that quote, I think, was I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I will give absolutely everything to make this work. It's like, I don't think it's the application that people are concerned by.
It's not your fault, Steve.
It won't be your
John Joe Shelby did an amazing thing in Metro this morning. You know when a new manager comes into a club and all the players really want to be picked? And I know John just had his problems in and out the set side with Rafa sometimes.
Oh, yes.
He just did an amazing, I mean, the way he was quoted in the newspaper, it was like, you know, all he wants is for us to work hard, and if we work hard, we'll be in the team. And you know, I will work hard. And Steve, if you're reading this, I'm going to work. He only just stopped short of saying, blimey. Steve Bruce, if you're reading this, I really want to play this season.
I know. Yeah, actions speak louder than words.
The jokes on Jonja though, because Steve Bruce will be gone by November. So.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Get a few sub appearances, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, what about the rumours that if? And it is one almighty if.
Is it the biggest if in football, Marcus?
I think so.
Yeah.
If Andy Carroll can prove his fitness, he could return to Newcastle United.
I can tell you exactly how this ends. Andy Carroll cannot prove his fitness and returns to Newcastle United.
Yeah.
That is just exactly how this ends.
What's the medical? Stroppy doing five little bottles of booze.
I can imagine Andy Carroll hearing that from his agents. They've said, if you can prove your fitness, you can come back. Why are they suddenly making all these demands?
Over a 10-year period that you've played
Carroll,
in football.
Andy, I'm not that happy in Liverpool because you can't find any bars that are open during the day. Carroll.
Oh, Andy, would you like to see him back at Newcastle?
I mean, we need bodies, don't we, Christ?
Marcus, you need complete bodies.
It's a great question because Pete desperately wants players.
Yes.
He's already on record saying he desperately wants strikers at Newcastle United.
Yeah, okay.
But on the other hand, it's Andy Carroll. Yeah. So what's the answer?
It ticks a lot of boxes for me. I've always liked Andy Carroll, but can't stay fit. So
I looked
at that shot. You remember when we watched him play England play Sweden?
Yeah.
We were there.
What a header that was.
Yeah.
Imagine him at full pelt.
Oh,
he's only 30. He could do something. Every time he moves close, I'm like, he could do it.
This is a problem, though. You remember the head? You remember the overhead kick?
Yeah.
West Ham. You remember the spectacular one away to Swansea? Was it? You know,
West Ham have ruined a lot of decent strikers. Let's make that very clear.
They're
not a great club for that kind of record.
That is true. However, his fitness hasn't been great. Andy Carroll. A big forward like him who can get his head on the ball, who has actually, you know, a bit of skill as well. Sometimes we forget that because he's the big man.
Has that maybe left him a bit?
Yeah,
though?
Massively. I think this season
To be fair to Andy, he's not going to command huge. He's certainly not going to be commanding the wages he was commanding like back in the day.
No.
And he has played, 55 times in the last three seasons for West Ham?
It'll
it's better than nothing. Let's make that very clear. What Newcastle have got at the moment.
And to be honest, pay for play is very much a zero-hours contract.
Give him a zero-hours contract.
There was ever a player.
It's a great move for him, but Pete, is it sillier or sensibler than Ben Arthur coming back? Because it does very much feel like that. You know,
there are
like
no rumours about Ben Arthur coming back.
Well, let's start.
I wish there was.
He's very happy. He won the cup last year, beat PSG in the final. There's no reason for him to come back.
Yeah. I was reading the NUFC.com unofficial fanzine website because they do own that URL once again. And I was at the same time I was ironing a shirt. I put the shirt on and I forgot I didn't iron the collar, so I've burnt my neck. So I'm already self-flagellating.
Hang on, we've done this before.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about this before.
Were you wearing it when you ironed it?
I know you don't do that. Yeah,
I know.
I just thought I could get away with it, but I was so distracted reading the
You're in your late 30s now. I mean, when you're in your late 20s, that's like quirky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you're in your late 30s.
Yeah.
Have a think about it.
That's a bit By the way, I wet myself.
Yeah, I can see you haven't ironed this sleeve very well either.
Don't do that. He'll burn his arm. But Andy Carroll. I mean, imagine getting on the end of those Matt Ritchie.
crosses. To be honest with you, lads, I'm all up for it. I am all in for it. What about going back to Wolverhampton Wanderers? They're going to face Crusaders from Northern Ireland's second Europa League qualifier. And I forgot Wolves were challenging to get into the Europa League.
Yeah. Wolves versus Crusaders sounds like a Maiden song, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. It sounds like a great Iron Maiden B-side.
The Wolves defeated the Crusaders. It sounds quite nice. What about the Welsh side? Forgive pronunciation, but I'm pretty sure it's Connors Quay Nomads.
It's definitely not Quay, is it?
Connors Quay.
Yeah.
Like, you know that word.
I did know that word.
Use your words, Marcus.
That's just English, isn't it?
Connors Quay!
Yeah, I sort of went
Irish. Irish accent.
Do you know where their home games are, Jim?
Wales.
I'm presuming neither do they.
He's not wrong.
They're nomads. But yeah, they're through to the second Europa League qualifying round after they beat Kilmarnock 2-0.
I mean, that's a
big one.
That's
isn't
a
it?
Bad one for Kilmarnock.
It's an extremely bad one for Kilmarnock.
Didn't Killy's mascot run around with the Welsh flag waving it around? I seem to recall seeing
him.
And Kilmarnock went away first to Wales and won 2-1. Just nice and easy.
But have you not seen the quotes from Kilmarnock, Gary Dicker?
Far away.
Who, it's got to be already. I mean, has the season officially started? Presumably it must have.
Well, you were saying the British season
has
started.
Okay, well, in which case, it's already won the award for most frank and honest interview of the season. He was absolutely beside himself.
Sure, he should
be. Some of the quotes, I'll read some of the quotes here that as reported in the Scottish Sun. We can only apologise to the support. It's just embarrassing. I've been involved in some games where you suffer disappointment, but this was something else.
Yeah.
It's up there with the worst result the club has ever had. And it's my name that's attached to it. Can I also say, on your first away leg, to be honest, we got away with it in the first leg.
2-1.
We scored a couple of late away goals and papered over the cracks. We've only got ourselves to blame. We worked so hard over 38 games to get into Europe and throw it all away over the first two games. We're so far off it was unbelievable. We deserve to be hammered, every single one of us. And we don't deserve anything more than we got. And we'll accept the criticism that comes because we fully deserved it.
Blimey.
He was fuming. Well, absolutely fuming.
They won the first leg 2-1. They lost the second leg 2-0. I mean, had they just lost 1-0, it would have been okay.
So, yeah.
You know, that's how bad it was. Then they miss a... which...
Not a great start for their new coach,
it isn't. They missed... They would have faced Partizan Belgrade. You know, for a club like Kilmarnock, that's a big tie.
Mm. But they would have been beaten then.
I'm quite sure of that as well. But still, though, you know, you get to the second qualifying round of the Europa League. I mean, it's something, a little bit of revenue and whatnot. But there we are, people.
A little bit of revenue in my bag.
And so we'll leave the final word to Gary Dicker, who says, we're record breakers, I suppose, but record breakers for very different reasons than we were a few months ago.
Oh.
Bless him.
Poor old Kilmarnock.
Good on him for fronting up, anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. So, yes, let's go to the International Champions Cup, because if the Premier League Asia Trophy is not to your liking, then, of course, you have the International Champions Cup.
Are you a Premier League Asia Trophy guy, or an International Champions Cup guy?
I don't think you have to be one or the other.
I think you have to come down one side of the fence or the other.
I don't know. I think kicking the ball around in the back garden, you dream of both, don't you?
Yeah, I agree. Before tea, you do Premier League Asia Trophy, go in for your tea, come back out. Bit of international
every sort of really actually moneyed footballer who, you know, spent their summer in Dubai or whatever.
Yeah.
Like if you've got the choice of going to China or America, you're probably going to choose the other one, aren't you, really? You're going to choose America.
Because
footballers are a bit daft, aren't they?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, Manchester United, they beat Inter 1-0. Lovely goal from Mason Greenwood.
Yeah. Good strike. Amazing finish.
It was good finish. He's an interesting one. I think he's only 17, Greenwood.
Very handsome.
Very handsome.
Good feet.
17.
Good, Peter. Wait. How many times have I told you?
On my Mark on Leash Hell. Wait.
But apparently, Greenwood, the quotes that you hear about or you see about Greenwood, they always go on about how two-footed he is. Mm. Apparently, he takes penalties with the wrong foot or the weak foot.
He hasn't got a wrong foot. He's like Marcus Speller.
He's a bit like that. But dare I say, even better. Play anywhere across the front line. He's played centre midfield.
I, for one, look forward to a
League Cup appearance.
Yes. Well, I was actually going to go the other way. I was going to say, I see absolutely no problem for self-styled biggest club in the world, Man United, to be going into a Premier League season of which they're already under pressure with Marcus Rashford and Mason Greenwood up front.
Hey, come on. You won't know if Greenwood put him on his weaker foot. Oh, no.
Can't.
Doesn't work. He's
suddenly scored 30 Premier League goals this season. Won't happen.
Well, apparently Man United are very close to signing Hazza Maguaza.
Harry Maguire. Mm. Very close, apparently. At the time of recording, that hasn't happened. But that's what the reports are saying. That'd be a decent signing, Jim.
It would be a decent signing. But, I mean, the fees being mooted are like a world record for a defender, aren't they? I know that you know, makes no difference to his ability on the pitch. But is that not going to hamper them elsewhere? They've got a lot of rebuilding to do.
Will he get to maraud? I love a Harry Maguire maraud.
I hope so. I do, and I'm saying this with love, guys, so don't completely crucify me, especially when we think about what we all enjoyed last summer.
Yes.
And Harry was very much a part of that. Uh-huh. The unicorn, the
you
swimming
pool.
You
think he's overrated?
Slabhead. I do think he's a bit overrated.
I think a lot of those footballers who played in that squad, there was a definite kind of like, they played better than they ever have before.
Maguire became a bit of a character, though. Mm. He's one of those players who...
And that always adds a couple of million to your fees.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
80 million on a character. Yeah. Get him in the mix up.
Well,
he's 26, isn't he? So, I mean, he's probably got his best years ahead of him. Obviously, 80 million is mad, but then the market's inflated and mad at the moment, so he's probably ignore that a little bit. But, yeah, it's not a signing that sort of is screaming out to happen, is it? You know what I mean?
They are a bit poor at the back.
I was stunned to read over the weekend that Harry Maguire, and I know that's playing for a different team and they're playing a slightly different way, and there's a few different factors as to why this could be the case. But Harry Maguire's pass completion percentage is lower last season than Chris Smalling and Phil Jones. I think the aspect of his ability on the ball, which is something that's talked about quite a lot with him, I personally think is a little bit overrated, but I'm happy to be pretty much.
I mean, his marauding stats will be a lot higher.
Oh, very high,
mate. Manchester City were in for him, though.
Yeah, true.
Which suggests that...
Well, that maybe it's they're into the marauding.
Mm. Or maybe because they're just trying to put the price up for Manchester United.
But you know when Pep... Yeah, that's a great shout. Yeah. But like when Ferguson did that for Charlie Adam at Liverpool. But when Pep Guardiola signs you as a player, he breaks you down and builds you back up again.
Yeah.
So it doesn't... I mean, as long as you've got the basic raw abilities...
What does Solskjaer do?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't think anyone knows.
Builds you up and then breaks you down.
He plays them a commentary of the 99 Champions League final and says, any questions?
One or two. Eight. Yeah. That's that. So, yeah, Lukaku hasn't left Manchester United. They rejected a £54 million bid from Inter.
Well, that puts the price into, a little bit of context.
It does, yeah. I think
sharp
so.
Focus.
David De Gea signed a new contract, though.
Should I stay or should I go? Are they just protecting future the future price of him? I can't figure that out at all.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he was very poor towards the end of last season. Mm. And obviously, you know, that's not a measure of his ability as a goalkeeper. But I thought that might be the end. I thought they might cash in and try.
Are they putting some money in the meter? Is that?
Yeah, I don't know though. I think with the way the club is to have. I mean, he is now a club stalwart, David De Gea. He's been there for a long time, and he still has quality. Let's
oh,
I know you just said that.
I'm sure that's a blip.
Yeah, but I think they'd be mad to get rid of him. Yeah. Personally, absolutely mad.
It's not. I mean, it's not. I mean, you're talking about cashing in. I mean, I don't know if it'd be a case of that. It'd be a case of whether he wants to stay or not. No.
Well, who else are they going to get in otherwise?
Exactly. I mean, I kind of feel like that with Romelu Lukaku. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know Lukaku's got his flaws, and perhaps he's not felt like he's part of the plans, and he's not hit the heights he may be expected to.
But he's
a good player.
Yeah.
He played at the very top level for quite a long time now. He gets you goals. And not only that, he's playing a background of like quite a lot of upheaval at Man United. Yeah. He's playing for a different manager than who he signed for. I don't think they should necessarily think they can definitely get a great replacement for him. So it's a really strange situation at United.
I know what you mean.
Obviously, we can only go by what you hear in the transfer rumours, but I'm not really seeing them linked with any strikers. So it doesn't look like they're even attempting
to. They were linked for a bit with Icardi.
Yeah,
right?
But I think Icardi, that is maybe sort of...
And he'll never cause you any problems.
Yeah, I'm
we all want that, don't we?
Yeah. But I think modern football, we're in a situation where like if you don't score every bloody match, it's like Lukaku as a footballer, he's quite a streaky player, isn't he?
Yeah,
and like he'll have periods where he's very, very good and periods where he's not quite so good.
I thought
that's
how strikers... Sometimes he plays naked.
We need to turn that streaky bacon into back bacon.
Yeah.
So it's just solid football.
Smoked or unsmoked?
I'm a fan of smoked. I'm not a big bacon guy. I prefer sausages in the morning.
Footballers can't smoke. Mm-hmm. No, it's not right.
I think the analogy fell down a while ago.
Quite a while ago.
I was having a go, but he was distracting me. So
sorry.
With his bacon shot.
Yeah, bacon shot. Yeah.
But how do you like your eggs, though?
I like mine with a kiss.
I like hollandaise sauce. Homemade hollandaise sauce, thank you.
What were you going to say, my good man?
I can't remember. But every striker has to be an Aguero where they score pretty much every time.
Oh, but it's probably the Messi and Ronaldo factor as well.
But for a top side, though, you're absolutely right. Lukaku, as you say, is a streaky player. So if he goes...
That's what strikers used to be like, though.
Well, that's what most strikers are like, lest we forget. But yeah, you're right. If he goes, say, 6 or 7 games without scoring at a club like Manchester United,
which
he does.
Then there are sort of question marks. But I take your point, Luke. I'm surprised that they're so keen to get rid of him. But Solskjaer didn't play him that much. Solskjaer quite clearly liked to play on the counter-attack, which worked at times. I know they had a bit of a crappy end of the season, but when he first came in, that counter-attack with players with pace. But Lukaku, I think could be part of that. He doesn't lack pace, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's a strange option in the squad to lose, isn't it? Because he does bring something very different from Rashford.
But I think, I mean, some Man United fans might be listening now and saying, yeah, but he's not that great, or he's not that... We take the point, but I think what Luke said at the start of this is, who else have they got? Yeah, who else is coming in?
I think one, you know, amongst all the sort of confusion, one huge positive for Man United is they don't look like they're going to lose Alexis Sanchez anytime soon. So, I mean, they won't struggle
they
there.
Just break
I bet they wish
parts.
They could lose him.
Yeah, I don't know. Imagine that if
they all just stopped pretending they could see him.
Well, have you seen him
in the grey shirt.
It's an interesting
put him in the grey wear shirt.
Well, Sanchez's former club, Arsenal, beat Fiorentina 3-0. Yeah, exactly. This is still in the International Champions Cup. So, I mean, I tell you what, Jim, silverware's on. Some of their younger players, the younger gunners.
Yeah, yellowware's on, which is nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, will we see some of these young gunners?
I think we will. Yeah, I think Reece Nelson, Eddie Nketiah and Joe Willock are all going to feature a bit more. I wonder if... I know that we're looking at Danny Ceballos as a potentially sort of like-for-like replacement for Aaron Ramsey, but I wonder if Joe Willock will be in the mix for that position as well. I'm excited about those players. And like I was saying last season, I think, you know, for Arsenal to rebuild, they have to start looking to younger players and, you know, forge a bit of a new identity. And I think those three could be a big part of that.
Yeah.
Eddie Nketiah played up front, right?
Yeah.
Scored a couple.
Scored
he's a striker, isn't he?
He is.
But he's not realistically going to play, is he?
Well, he will... You know, he'll play in the Europa League and he'll get minutes off the bench and in the League Cup and stuff like that. And I think, you know, that's a good position for him to be in at this point of his career. He's still very young, but he looks very sharp.
Yeah, I mean, Billy is sort of Luke saying that he will have to be exceptional to try and...
To mix it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Get in there a bit. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, that's the reality of playing for, lest we forget, a big club like Arsenal. Yeah. Before we go for a break, I didn't suppose you saw that foul that involved with the Sevilla Liverpool.
No,
I've read about it.
Yeah, Yasser Larucci, I think that's pronounced. He was on the end of an awful tackle by Lloris Ñáñón, who, I mean,
Calm down, mate.
Pre-season. it was extraordinary.
You either want it or you don't.
Yeah, it's shocking. Well, if he gets an injury from that, honestly.
Did he get booked, though?
Oh, you got sent off.
All right. Then how do you feel about that? I mean, you like your players getting carded.
I don't want that, Jim. I do not want that.
I've just seen it. It's quite bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's bad at any time of the season, let alone before the season has begun.
It's a straight red. And he's apologised for it, saying it was a heinous act on my part and should not have been seen on the football field. All my prayers are with the player and his family.
He
literally said that. All my prayers are with the player and the family.
What the bloody lore is going on
Wonderful.
There.
Wonderful.
I mean, I didn't have any particular analysis on it. I just saw it and I'm sure others did.
I think
I'm
probably
still flabbergasted.
He might have watched a Marvel film on the way in.
Well, maybe. But think about it. I mean, where was the game? I'm not sure where the game was played, but I would imagine it was in a hot climate.
As it is in America, I believe.
Oh, was it? Okay. It's a pre-season friendly young player. I don't know what that player has said on that. It's so unnecessary in the highest possible degree. There we are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
And I think you are an ostrich.
Oh,
an old favourite.
I've been called worse. Right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go once again. From Monday, 5th of August, the Football Ramble will become Football Ramble Daily. A new podcast every Monday to Saturday, including your usual rambles and some exciting new faces as well. Make sure you're subscribed on the Ramble feed to ensure you never miss an episode. It's big times, people. It's big times.
Cooking with Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
Just one of the shows that hasn't made the cut.
Yeah, there we are. But what has made the cut are the emails with Petey D. I'm the only bee in
your bunny. Not the bees!
You've got mail. Bad
beat. Couple of quick ones. Rob from Kinross. Dear Pete, at the start of the season, I wrote to you saying I thought that Mark Hughes would be the next Newcastle United manager. I was wrong and I apologise. Hello to...
Would you have preferred that?
Worse than that. would you have preferred that?
I don't even know where my head's at the moment. Oh, let's just settle into the season. Let's see if
I think
the strike partnership of Elias Sorensen and, I don't know,
Andy Carroll.
Andy Carroll.
I think Hughes would have been better than Bruce.
Vosh! Oh,
it's an awful thing to think about.
Sophie's choice. Vosh. All right, gents. With the recent appointment of Steve Bruce, a lot of emails about Steve Bruce.
Sorry, someone just email in just to apologise for getting a prediction wrong.
Yeah, exactly. With the recent appointment of Steve Bruce, I would like to echo fellow Villa fans calling for a truce between ourselves and Newcastle fans. We feel your pain. I'd even go as far as to buy you a beer / give you a hug at the Villa Newcastle game at the Villa Park this season. Pete.
Do you know what? I think I know Vosh.
Well, I'm going to tell you why. P.S. Yeah. My Ramble qualifications include going on a stag do with Marcus Feller once. Well, get this. He signed a plastic fork with Pete's name and gave it to me. Are you signing Pete Donaldson memorabilia behind my back?
I might be.
Did you take
that's
payment for this?
Huge prices on
outrageous.
All right. All right.
Outrageous.
20%?
It needs to have a certificate with my name and details with it.
Yeah.
My business card.
It was a good stag do, mutual friend of ours, obviously.
Mm.
And who you sat at the table at my wedding with. And Vosh, I've never seen a man so gutted. We were on the way back from a night out, and he'd been looking forward to his kebab on the way home,
right.
I think since about lunchtime.
Mm.
And he dropped it in the road and a car went... Pfft.
Oh, God. Otherwise, you'd have picked it up.
Yeah.
Was he on your stag, Marcus?
It wasn't my stag, Jim.
He on it?
Yeah. Did but, he got your stag?
So
brushed over that, didn't he?
Brushed over that, yeah. The stag we never got to go to.
So that's why, Peter, I thought, how can I immediately cheer him up? And I thought, well, I've got to sign something on behalf of Pete Donaldson again.
Okay, right, yeah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Were you doing that on your own stag?
You'll never know. You'll never know. Are we done with the emails?
Yeah, yes. If you want to get in touch with the short at thefootballramble.com.
Excellent. Let's go to Major League Soccer.
Okay.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored a hat-trick for LA Galaxy against LAFC in the El Tráfico Derby. Love that name. Love that name. He called a member of the opposition coaching staff a little bitch after the full-time whistle. I think he told him to F off as well, something like that. He was insulting Carlos Vela pre-game too.
Oh, come on. This is one of the best quotes ever.
What do you think?
I didn't work my career to come to MLS just to be compared to Carlos Vela.
He also said Carlos Vela is 29 at his peak in playing in MLS.
Yeah.
When I was
29, I was in Europe. Big difference. And didn't he also say... I think
Vela's actually 30. But
I think he said this before, but he also said that I am a Ferrari in a league of Fiat.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's parody Zlatan.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I just think, yeah, fair enough, he scored a great hat-trick, but like...
That it was a great one in particular.
Yeah, it was brilliant, but
beating the offside for the last one as well. Yeah.
As Luke says, it's beyond parody now.
Yeah. But that first goal will go on his all-time highlight reel.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Which
beautiful.
Is very long.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's very...
It's a great goal.
Look at the finish.
It is a great goal, but his highlight reel is particularly spectacular.
I think I stand by it.
All right, Jim.
As an England fan, you should want the overhead kick struck from the record to be replaced by
I'm a football fan before I'm an England fan. Even me.
That's not true.
Yeah, it isn't true. I can't even remember any overhead kickers. Little Ryan Shawcross. Ryan the line.
Exactly. Will someone think of the career of Ryan Shawcross, please?
Well, LA Galaxy, I think, are 9 points behind LAFC in the Western Conference. So LAFC way out in front of second place Galaxy. Bob Bradley. That is the LAFC coach.
Swansea Hall of Famer.
Carlos Vela doubled down on his claim after the game because he got the two goals and he said he sticks by it, and he said, obviously, you know, I'm not comparing myself to him overall, that's an insult to him, but right now in this moment he's got something like 19-19, Vela, all dinks, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. Of course. But I mean, Vela's had not a bad career. He's actually a little bit better than one. I think it was a Real Sociedad, wasn't he?
Yes, I believe so.
You know, and when has Zlatan Ibrahimovic ever graced Royal Society? Wow. as they know, but yeah, so some nice stuff happening out in California. You watched Galaxy before, didn't you, Peter?
I went to see Galaxy. Yeah, it was a very family based affair.
Yeah,
Spartan America is very different, isn't it?
Russell went to go see LAFC for at the match, and the atmosphere there sounded amazing. If you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to it. It's on the Continent feed.
The Riot Squad in full effect. Kiss my ass.
I didn't know you had a clip from it. Thanks for playing
kiss
it.
Kiss my ass.
Thanks for playing it. Yeah, it's actually
I'm stuck
really
in traffic
episode.
In Koreatown. That's some of the sound effects you'll hear at the match.
Yeah, you got any more? Do another one.
It was a perfect Californian accent.
I'm waiting for this Hyperloop to get me from San Fran.
You're more East Coast.
Hey,
man.
I'm walking here.
Why are they all speaking like they're from New York?
I was going to say.
Yeah. Oh, from California, boy.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, can I just say that Pete that actually does a very passable Bernie Sanders impression?
Oh, yeah, he does. Go on.
No, I don't think we need it now.
No, we don't need it now.
We need it now.
We don't need it now. I'm Bernie Sanders. I got turned into a Simpsons character now. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's gone.
You see those videos of him back in the day talking to the school children?
Yeah. He was being a senator, wasn't he? He was being a man about town.
He was being a man who couldn't communicate with children.
What's your fucking problem?
What are you calling me a commie for, huh? How about that? Are we ready?
Universal healthcare!
We're not ready to move on.
It sounded a bit like Sylvester Stallone, that one.
Let's move on, I'm sweating.
All right, let's go to Egypt. The Africa Cup of Nations finished with Algeria beating Senegal 1-0 in the final.
A classic performance and a classic goal.
I tell you something, our brother-in-arms, Jonathan Wilson, was out there, of course, and I thought he was very honest and fair about Algeria in his article, because he talked about Algeria. They've got great technical ability. They match it up quite well with a bit of muscle. Mm. They're the best team in the tournament, deserved winners, and yet Jonathan was at pains to watch them time and time again revert to shithousery. Yeah. And he was saying it's a bit of a shame because you really want to enjoy this side. You know, obviously Mahrez is the star and scored a great free kick against Nigeria, I think it was, in the last minute.
Did he get one in the last minutes, put him through?
That's right. In injury time, 94th minute.
Hell of a free kick.
It was a beauty. Because it was keeper side, but the hit, you've got to really...
And it's great to see Mahrez because he's someone who's had to... perform a slightly bit part role in Man City. A lot of players have to, but he's the main man for them, and he really excels.
But really steps up, and they've got other decent players as well. In North Africa, actually, I find that there's the great technical ability. Remember the Egyptian sides, or the Egypt side, you know, did three in a row African Cup of Nations. It was a great shame they never qualified for a World Cup. Yeah. And obviously a great shame that Salah got injured at the Russia World Cup when they eventually did get there. So it's great. Often the footballers that come from that part of the world can have great technical ability. And I think, you know, Wilson was talking about that and so on, but they did revert to a lot of the diving and the moaning and the this, that, and others. But they won the cup. And it was the first time they won it since 1990.
They had one shot in total.
That's all you need.
And it was the deflected one that went over the keeper and went in.
Did it go in? Exactly.
Yeah. It really, really looked like it wasn't going in. The goalkeeper even thought that.
They sneaked through against Ivory Coast in the quarters as well on penalties, I think. They've really snuck their way up there. Mm. But, you know, fair enough, you've got to win it. But Hervé Renard's retired, didn't he?
Yeah, they put Hervé
Renard. Resigned, I think. Resigned from the coach at
Big
Morocco.
Yeah. Clarence Seedorf was sacked.
Yeah.
They've all gone. But Algeria, they won the cup. And it's a great win because first time since 1990, which I think was their only win of the Africa Cup of Nations. Mm. Senegal, I don't think, have won it, if I'm right in saying that. But in North Africa, where there's quite a large Algerian... North Africa? There's an enormous Algerian community in North Africa, mainly in Algeria.
The biggest one on earth.
I would say.
In Algeria, honestly, you never believe it. There's Algerians
everywhere.
The
Algerian diaspora in Algeria is obscene.
It is absolutely remarkable. In North London, of course, is what I meant to say, where there's a large Algerian community. They lit up the streets of North
London. It made me proud to be a Londoner. Yeah, I was like, fuck same. Yeah, this is what London is all about.
There weren't that many of them. I mean, in Algeria, there's 41 million.
How many in North London?
Not 41 million.
All Kent Road as well.
There's about 5 million in North London.
I was out in Finsbury Park and there were fireworks going off, just people like furiously beeping their horns. And the thing that I love most about it, most people won't know what it's for. But there's a lot of just groups of young Algerian guys, teenagers in some case, just running around, physically running around at top speed, not knowing what to do with themselves. To the point where there were three guys ran through the tube station, just pure joy on their face. And actually, there were some Senegal fans obviously looking a little bit disheartened. Mm. And one of them had stopped and like really sincerely apologised for sort of celebrating in their faces and then carried on. And sir, you are a credit to your parents.
when Portugal knocked England out in World Cup 2006.
Take your pick.
Yeah, 2006, yeah. I think it was. It might have been 2004. I think it was 2006. I lived in Stockholm, which is a massive Portuguese area.
In South London.
And it was chaos. Absolute chaos.
When
the traffic was stopped in the road.
I think that's disrespectful.
I went out and I said, listen, have a sit down.
You've had your fun.
Yeah. When you start making cars, I'll flip them.
Yeah.
When France beat England in the first game of, I think, year 2004, a local French restaurant was smashed up in Hornchurch. So.
Yeah. Damn right.
And where were you that night?
Saturday.
I was in Essex.
Jim would have smashed up the wrong fucking shop.
Yeah. He would have accidentally fallen into a German restaurant.
That's a pie and mash shop, Jim.
I don't go around smashing anything, I would like to make clear.
You're the smash man. You're the North London smash man. That's
what
they
call you. Smash Bros.
You and your brother. The roster.
That's Keys and Gray, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
Oh, I'd love Keys and Gray to join the Smash Brothers roster. I'd like that. Yeah.
Smashy and Jimmy.
Mr. Mario.
Pine Smash.
It's
Andy.
A great game. I hate seeing that. Holding out for the advert.
I'd like a Smash Pikachu in the face with a hammer.
Pokemon don't know the offside rule.
Well, there we are. I think it's time for a break, isn't it?
Yeah, let's have another one.
All right. See you in a minute.
Fans are shouting every week, Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
It's such a lovely memory for those who are Man United fans.
Did you see?
There was a video of him recently. I haven't seen it yet.
They were driving. I don't know what they were doing. They were doing some kind of like carpool karaoke kind of camera in a car.
Louis van Gaal?
Louis van Gaal was in there. I don't think he was singing
James
or anything.
Gordon.
But they were being filmed in a car, basically. And for some reason, they were driving quite slowly and some guy just turned up with a tray of three beef burgers. And Louis van Gaal was so excited about these beef burgers. Technically going, oh, beef burgers!
In buns or not?
In buns, yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
He turned into like the cookie monster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Burgers!
Yeah. That's the same tone as Bernie Sanders in a way. Yeah. The accents.
I like those. If you did carpool karaoke, it would just be the one song. It'd just be Louis van Gaal's army. Yeah. That's all he's got. But that's all he needs.
He's very excited. He loves beef burgers. We just learned that.
Oh, big time.
Big time. Wings.
Luke Moore, you were impressed with Harry Kane's goal. I think we all were.
Yeah, it's a great goal from the halfway line. And the last minute to win 3-2 against Juventus.
The vision to see that.
If you leave the words pre-season friendly out of that, it's iconic.
Yeah. Over Chesney as well.
Yeah.
Who always pipes up.
He's always piping up.
He got a hand to it as well, implying he could have done better.
Yeah. He's always piping up about Spurs, Chesney. It's strange. So
I like that though.
I think you do, but I imagine that was particularly satisfying.
That's all Jim's got. Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to bring to the table was something that broke this morning, that the world record for the longest football match has just been broken by a group of
Roger
footballers.
Roger Federer and
by a group of footballers in Cardiff.
Right.
The score ended 988-951.
Good God.
Oh my God, how long did that last?
For a minute there, I thought, close one. And I thought, imagine, there's about 40 goals in it.
They played for 169 hours. The record was...
The
history... I don't know, but they got to go and have... The rules were, there were little cardboard tents at the side of the pitch. and they're able to go and sleep for an hour every 12
cardboard
hours.
Cardboard tents?
Yeah, these little cardboard pop-up things.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
The same players then?
I believe so. Well, there's obviously a rotating amount of players, but there's
their knees, man.
You're only allowed two subs.
Yeah, the history of...
not on 4G.
The history of the world record is that it was 108 hours, I think. And then this team in Cardiff were going to play for 135. Then the bloody Germans came in and ended up playing for 168. So they had to change it and ended up playing for 169. So there were 33 players in total.
Mm. Literally had to play like a 33. Day and a half longer.
Yeah, I know, it's mad.
And that's is that 11 a side?
I don't think so, no. I think I don't, possible. I don't, I'm not
stuff
sure.
Like that, I think to myself, and I think I'd much rather not do that and not have a record.
Yeah, well, I did a...
I mean, I admire it, of course. Not a winner.
About 10 years ago... Yeah. It was Pete Dawson with me. Did we do that 12-hour thing we did in Clapham Common? Was that, were you there?
Oh, that rings a bell. Yeah, it was
the dogging thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That wasn't 12 hours. By the way. Who do you think I am? That was
take me bloody watch.
We did 12 hours for Tackle Africa. Mm. Where you did like, but it wasn't really one solid game. It was a big tournament,
and that went on for a long time.
I mean, that went for so long that I got sunburnt in the morning and then got a cold because it rained so hard in the afternoon.
Yeah, so 12 hours. So they did 157 hours more than you.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good effort.
It's not bad, is it? Is,
I played football for Africa. What have you done?
Yeah, it's true. They weren't doing it for Tackle Africa. They're like,
well,
we were.
Well, they might have done it for some sort of cause.
Yeah. I enjoyed speaking of the. The Harry Kane. Oh, yes. Do you see that they flipped a credit card at the start of the match?
Wow. That's amazing.
Instead of a coin.
No. And Pete, you had a problem with that because you told me that the chip card. In the chip and pin weighted one side down.
Yeah, so it's weighted on one side. So,
so you've got a far better chance of going pin side.
Yeah, not pin side, pin
chip
down.
Side, sorry.
Chip side down, whatever that is on the back. Magnetic strip up.
Yeah, okay.
It'll be a problem. That's
flipping
all I'm saying,
a credit
guys.
Card, that is a bit...
Cashless society.
I've only seen a still of it. Did they hold it up and go, look at this credit card, I'm going to flip it?
Was it signed?
Yeah. Exactly.
If not, it's a security risk.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you're flipping a big cheque, I'm all in for that, but a credit card seems a bit cynical.
Yeah, indeed, Jim.
I got paid for a bit of work with a cheque last week.
Oh, really? A big cheque?
I don't know what to do.
Did you really? A big one?
I don't know.
I think big cheques are probably more prominent than normal cheques now, right?
I'd say so, yeah. I don't know how do you cash it these days?
I don't think you can put it. Santander, who I bank with, have got a thing where they can read it on the computer screen.
Yeah, HSBC aren't backwards.
Oh yeah, you can do it through your phone, can't you? Did you see the Burnley fan who watched two Burnley games at once, and his name is Dave Burnley?
How did he manage to change?
So when we do have an any other business section on the running order for people to bring to the table, right, Jim? You bring a guy called Dave Burnley who watched two Burnley games at once.
Yes,
you're making it up.
No,
the season's not even started yet.
His daughter is called Clarissa. Right, and he wanted to call her Claret and Blue, and his presumably long suffering partner at the time was like, no, you're not doing that. But he genuinely wanted to call her Burnley, a sort of major situation. And obviously, you know, his partner wouldn't let that happen. So yeah, he went because for some reason Burnley played two games at once, and one was nearby. So he nipped out just before half time.
Watched the rest of it.
Yeah, watched the
was it,
the start
was it the young?
End.
Was it like the under 21s?
I'm not entirely sure what they were doing, but I guess it's, you know, just testing the.
Maybe he wants to give the squad a run out.
Yeah,
they're trying to go for 170
fitness
hours.
Levels up. But yeah, it's all
they're still playing now.
All a bit strange.
Oh, right. He obviously changed his name, as you say, to Dave.
Yeah,
Burnley.
To Dave Burnley. He's not missed a game since 1974. He said he's not married because you know. Burnley are more important, it would seem.
He's married to Burnley.
Exactly. Yeah, he is Burnley.
Yeah. Get married on a Friday?
Yeah, I know, mate. It's not me that you need to convince.
Yeah, true enough. I'm saying as if it's your mate you've got.
I don't think it's the day that's the problem, Mark.
Yeah.
I think it might be finding a wife or a husband that can put up with that kind of behaviour.
I like this quote from the piece that was actually written by Dave Burnley in The Guardian. I actually played for Burnley in Mallorca in 1979 during one trip. I came on the pitch for Leighton James for the last few minutes and scored. I was over there by myself. No other Burnley fans had gone and I was sleeping rough in an old aerodrome between the airport and Parma.
Yeah.
The depressing life of devotion.
Absolutely. Yeah. That is not the only story like that in that article as well. It's are you all right, Dave?
Yeah.
I think that is the key question.
But that is quite a fascinating story when he went over the one you just read out there.
Mm.
And he played for them, as you say, and scored because we all remember that one.
He actually scored twice.
He's right, yeah.
That's impressive. We remember Redknapp and West Ham.
Yeah, but
the guy was offside though.
But I think that story's been sort of blown up out of all proportion because Redknapp's told it about 40 times.
Redknapp sticks to the facts. Yeah. When he tells a story, I think he'll
find. He is not an embellisher.
No, certainly.
Don't call him an embellisher.
Yeah. But I think the guy did come on, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, no, that did happen, yeah.
But this guy.
I thought that story about the West Ham fan was like he hit the post or something.
Yeah, he scored. But it was offside.
Yeah, it was
good. I'm sure that's been changed.
No, it was definitely to hit the post. I think he hit the post, wasn't it? I don't know, see?
It's lost in the annals of time.
Okay, I guess there's no stats on that sort of thing.
Well, Dave Burnley.
He's done it.
He scored two goals, and he's hiding it under a bushel.
And that's what happens if you score two goals for Burnley. It's a little known fact that you have to change your name to Dave to Burnley. So that's why Ashley Barnes is now Ashley Burnley.
Is that right?
Yeah.
My goodness. Well, we look forward to Ashley Burnley. Let's score some more goals. So if you score a hat trick, can you change it back?
You change your surname to Television Speaker.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've come to the end of this football
ramble.
We've
clearly come to the end. Yeah.
We're melting in the studio.
Thanks to Bernie Sanders for joining us.
Bernie Sanders.
he hasn't scored twice.
Yeah. Thanks.
Duck.
Macho man Bernie Sanders there.
Miss Elizabeth.
How would Bernie Sanders sound?
What do you mean?
Well, you've got to do Burnley, but in a Burnley accent.
I don't know a Burnley accent, to be honest.
Just generic Northern. Do generic Northern.
Yeah.
Fucking hell! I'm gonna give you healthcare! That's socialism! I need me healthcare! Oh, man. Yeah, Luke, do you do any impressions? Check me Vorton record!
No. All right. I'll do an impression of a shit football pundit sometimes.
Yeah. Very humble. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you.
Yeah, we're back on Thursday. See you then.
Was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.